So today, as we walk with a giant, we're going to do Moses Part 2. It's our prayer that that song would be our reality, and Moses is going to show us just how to do that. In the midst of your frailties, your mistakes, your flaws, God can still use you and me in great ways. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Amen. Turn to your neighbor and say, come on, someone. Yeah. Now we're getting somewhere. Well, my goodness, it is freezing in here. It's like a freezer. I think this is like honoring Sochi Olympics, like just turn it down, you know? It's like I need a down jacket in here. But hey, you know, speaking about Olympics, how many of you are following Olympics? Yeah, it's amazing. It's amazing to watch these people from around the world that are like the best of the best. They enter into these crazy competitions and do these crazy stunts, and just the pressure. You have like all of the world watching, and then your country, you know, like backing you. And so all this pressure and responsibility like forces you to become like this expert, refined in skill and amazing. And the pressure, it's like just amazing to watch. At the same time, we're all at the edge of our seats, like, you know, sweaty palms, and, you know, we're freaking out for them. And then when they make a mistake, it's like their whole world comes crashing down. And I think, man, if this is your last Olympics, you're so bummed, you know. It's like, it's amazing. And I think about Olympics, you know, our life can be a lot like Olympics, where there's responsibility after responsibility after responsibility, and the whole, like, our whole world's watching. And it's like, and then, you know, I think, I don't know about you, but I'm riddled with mistakes that I've made, that I'm wrestling with, that I'm still gonna make. And how in the heck do you, like, deal with all of that pressure? Well, Moses is gonna share with us just how to do that, and he is gonna speak to your and my faith in such a way that though we still have a life riddled with mistakes, full of flaws, God can still use us. Well, hey, check it out. Next week, we're not only going to celebrate baptism, where many of us will take an inward commitment to our God and really go outward with it, saying, hey, I'm going to follow God with all my heart. World, this is my commitment. Not only are we celebrating that, and those of you who are going to do that next week, but we celebrate next week 30 years of my dad and mom, our family in Hawaii doing ministry. Pretty cool, huh? 30 years. My goodness. My dad needs a trophy, I tell you. He does like Starbucks, so if you want to get him Starbucks, go ahead next week. But I'm in the family too, so if each of you give me $1, I think I'll be okay. I'm just joking. That's heresy. Sorry. But, you know, as a son and someone just like you, a congregant, a person of this family in New Hope, I watched my mother and father grab a hold of this assignment, this responsibility that God gave them 30 years ago. Moved our family from Oregon to this sleepy little town in Hilo, where they gave their lives to Christ and to the people there. You know, it wasn't always pretty. You know, it wasn't always perfect. But I saw, because of their faithfulness and their faith and their love for Jesus and love for people, God do amazing things in Hilo, in Hawaii, around the globe, because they said yes. I thought, wow, you know, as a son, as someone like you, I think, wow, you know, these two people, they are people that have been so uplifting in my life and very inspiring. And so I think they might be watching. Could we just give them a big hand, Mom and Dad? We love you. We love you. We love you. We love you. Now, that's something that I think they've passed on to me and my sisters and our family and us that really impacts. I mean, it really does. You know, speaking about passing on, recently I passed on something to my son, my only son, Micah. I want to show you. Should I look on the screens here? This little guy, oh my goodness. You know what I passed on to him? His good looks. No, it actually, 33 years ago, that shirt that he's wearing was mine, my little shirt. And yeah, it says, Dear God, thanks for me. But you know this little guy, a week ago, I had him in my arms, looking at this little thing, this treasure, this gift that God has given to myself and my wife, and looking at him, and he's starting to connect, you know, and he's 15 weeks now, and you speak to him and smile, and he starts to smile back and laugh. He's laughing at me. It's because he likes me, not because I'm weird, but he's laughing and connecting, and it's almost like he knows what I'm talking about. It's amazing. There's just like this father-son bond, and I'm speaking to him about, you know, the wonderful things ahead of him and the future that God has for him and the cool things that we get to do together in life, like all of our surf trips that mom will let us go on, you know. I'm just getting so excited. But then it started to hit me as I was thinking about our life together and myself as a daddy. I started to categorize and list all of the mistakes that I've made, the flaws that I'm actually wrestling with currently, and the things that I can't see up ahead. That, man, I just sometimes get afraid of, and I'm, as I'm holding this little guy, I my prayer kind of turned from this excitement to, oh God, please help me, you know, my confidence and my assurance as a father was shaken at that moment. I thought, God, please let me pass on like the good and all like the bad in my life. Just magically make them forget it, please, oh God. And I started to think about my marriage and my other two little girls and the people out in our churches. And I just thought, man, you know, sometimes in life, isn't it true, like, there's responsibilities that we got, and a lot of them God-given responsibilities, things that only you can do and only I can do and no one else can do in the whole wide world. And sometimes the pressure of that, sometimes just the weight of that can really do stuff to us. And Moses was someone that was given a massive assignment. But Moses, if you walk with him, and we're going to do that today, if you walk with Moses, this guy was used so massively by God, at the same time was riddled with mistakes. I mean, this guy was just nuts, and that gets me excited. I mean, I get so pumped that Moses, I mean, he just made so many mistakes because I can relate to him. And it means that there is yet hope for people like you and me. Before we jump into what I want to share with you today about Moses' faith that he wants to actually pass on to us, I want to share with you the responsibility to kind of just to see the weight that Moses was given, the responsibility that he was given, and then shift gears and talk a little bit about what is that kind of faith that was able to sustain and be stable throughout this responsibility all the way to the end where God says, I marked this guy as a man of faith, and he was riddled with mistakes, but I used him like crazy. Because I don't know about you, I want to be used like crazy by God in my family, in my marriage, in my future, in this state of Hawaii. I want us, New Hope, to be able to stand there before God, and God says, well done, my good and faithful people, amidst our mistakes. So let's look. It's going to be up here, and let's just start off. Let's just check out what God is about to hand this guy, and we say, okay, what kind of faith can handle this? Because we need some of it. Let's read together. And this is going to come out of Exodus 3. Chapter 3, verses 10 through 15, and let's read it like we mean it. Ready? Get set, go. Therefore, come now, and I will send you to Pharaoh, so that you may bring my people, the sons of Israel, out of Egypt. But Moses said to God, who am I that I should go to Pharaoh, and that I should bring the sons of Israel out of Egypt? And he said, certainly I will be with you, and this shall be the sign to you that is who have sent you. When you have brought the people out of Egypt, you shall worship God at this mountain, right where we are speaking face to face. continue. Then Moses said to God, "Behold, I am going to the sons of Israel, and I will say to them, 'The God of your fathers has sent me to you.' But, oh my goodness, now they may say to me, 'What is his name? What shall I say to them?'" Well, God said to Moses, "I am who I am." And he said, "Thus you shall say to the sons of Israel, 'I am has sent to you.'" God furthermore said to Moses, "Thus you shall say to the sons of Israel, 'The Lord, the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob has sent me to you. This is my name forever, and this is my memorial to all the generations.'" You know, we all want to be used mightily by God, you know, whether it be in our children's lives, our marriage, our community, friends, and I think, "Oh God, give me the faith for this," because sometimes just the weight is sometimes debilitating. And rather than like make me better, sometimes the weight like presses me to be like that guy in the song, all messed up, and instead of building up, man, I find myself tearing down. But how do we press on to the end, and how do we allow you, Lord, to really work in us and through us in a mighty way? Well, it's going to require a certain kind of faith, and let's be reminded up in Hebrews 11, chapter 11, verse 1. What kind of faith is this? Let's read together. Ready, get set, go. "Now, faith is the confidence in what we hope for, an assurance about what we do not see. This is what the ancients were commended for." See, Moses, you know, he was at a point in his life where he had no idea what was coming up. He had no assurance. He had no confidence. But God started to build in him this faith where he was assured and he was confident in the things that he always hoped for, the things that he hoped for in his own life, in his family's life, and in the family of God. And he said, I hope for some big things, God, and I really need to be assured in this stuff. Lord, I need to be confident in the things that I can't see." And God says, "Yeah, if you follow me, I'll do just that." So what kind of faith is this? Where people like you and me, we can be full of mistakes, fragile, and still be used by God. What in the world is this? Maybe flawed in our disciplines, frail in our parenting styles, you know, totally weak as husbands and wives. I mean, you think about it, there's like no perfect husband or wife out there, right? Can I get an amen? Yeah, it's because my wife, she married the last one. It's just like crazy. What kind of faith is this? I want to, right at the very top of our notes, would you write in this? Here it is. Faith, this kind of faith is a faith that is spiritually responsible. It's a responsible faith. Now you'd say, "Whoa, whoa, whoa, Aaron, I already got a ton of responsibilities. You're adding another one." No, it's actually going to do the exact opposite. And if you are remembered about faith and what faith is, it's we're stepping into the kingdom of God. And often in life, you'll find that the kingdom of God is just the opposite of the kingdom of this world. And sometimes it's a little tough to step in there because it doesn't seem natural, because it's not. It's supernatural. And supernatural things that you would think, like, that just doesn't make sense. But if you're following God himself, you watch and wait, you're going to look back and say, "Oh my goodness, God, thank goodness that I followed you through this." But what is this? You know, what is a spiritually responsible faith? First of all, I want to share with you what it's not before we see what it is through the life of Moses. What it's not is, it's not a self-responsibility. It's not on our own strength, our own accord. It's not a fiscal or political responsibility. It's not even fiduciary or parental or marital responsibility. As great as these things are, it really is a spiritual, responsible faith that caught God's attention and used him mightily. Now, it's also not perfection, that's for sure. You look at Moses' life, who he was, that bugger was not perfect. It wasn't scholarly. It wasn't that mature. It wasn't all put together, and it sure wasn't pretty. It wouldn't even be what we would call ideal, because if you remember Moses, and like when God came to him, if you remember, and called him and sent him into this assignment and gave him this responsibility, God met Moses when he was a murdering fugitive. Remember that? He was a murdering fugitive. He was a failed liberator. 40 years prior, he tried to free the people himself at the age of 40 on the top of his game. He was at the climax. He was all powerful, like second to Pharaoh. And he tried on his own accord. He was a failed liberator. In fact, he was an 80-year-old, passive, afraid, insecure man. And God met him. It wasn't pretty. But in Moses, in his life, at this moment, in all his frailties and mistakes and flaws, God met him right where he was at. And despite his flaws, God used him. Here it is. Moses, although he is one of the most striking examples of heroic faith in the Bible, he was human just like you and me, plagued and riddled with mistakes. But here it is. It was Moses' willingness to obey God despite the many flaws that made Moses someone that God could use. See, what God is speaking to, I think, every single one of us here today is this, that God can use every single one of us in mighty ways if we are willing to obey him despite our flaws. That's good news. I got to get an amen for that one. Amen. Man, how many of you guys still got mistakes in you? Yeah, did you know that God can use you? But it's going to require a certain kind of faith, which is a faith that is spiritually responsible. See, what in the world is this kind of faith, a faith that is spiritually responsible? Well, I want to give you three qualities of this kind of faith, a faith that's spiritually responsible, that will help us, kind of a roadmap that despite our mistakes, we can still press on and God would mark us as people of new hope, people of faith that he can use in mighty ways and mighty indeed. The first quality out of the life of Moses as he is honing and developing and building this kind of faith would be this. Number one, spiritually responsible people live like God has sent them. Live like God has actually sent them. Like God has actually sent you and me into our world. Like the God of the universe, the almighty, powerful, majestic, and glorious, who holds all authority, God, has sent you and me into our world, into our families, into our marriages, into working with our children, into our situations at work, into the horrible situations that we're facing right now, into the situation where financially, man, I wish it was more ideal, but it just isn't. Like the God of the universe has actually sent me on assignment with mission into my world. See, that's what Moses is teaching us. And he didn't quite get it down like in the beginning. He actually wavered in this and wrestled with this. When God said, Moses, I'm going to send you. Why? Because I hear the cries of my people and they are enslaved and I want to free them. Oh, but God, I tried the first time and they told me, who do you think you are? They told me, who made you ruler over us? And it just didn't quite work. So God, I know you know all things, but can I remind you? It didn't work the first time. Why is this time so different? What if they don't listen again? And God says it this way, Exodus 3:14. Let's read together. Ready, get set, go. God said to Moses, I am who I am. This is what you are to say to the Israelites. I am has sent you. Just a little bit of a history lesson on I am. You know, this is I am, like the only God. You know, in the Old Testament, the the name of God was so holy that the people of God, they wouldn't even speak his name because it was so holy, so pure, so majestic. They couldn't even speak the name of God. So it's like, oh, the only thing that they could conjure up to kind of communicate God, because he's so powerful and so magnificent, they would write the name of God, but they couldn't even spell every letter of the name because it's too holy. So they just took four letters of the name of God, where we get Yahweh, which is just four of those letters that aren't even all put together. And the best thing that we could come up with, because God's name is so holy, just so that we can call upon the name of God, was Yahweh, I am. He said, Moses, go and tell them, I am has sent you, the God of Abraham. Remember, we've been talking about Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God that has been faithful in these men and women's lives along the way. Though they're full and riddled with mistakes and failures and flaws, the God that was faithful and miraculously did these amazing things in their life. See, that's what he's saying, is go and tell them that I am has sent you. Oh, like, okay, God. Simply, here's what God is saying. Here's the humor of God. He's saying, Moses, when you go, and if they say, who do you think you are? Just drop my name. Name drop. Yeah. You know, you have any friends that, you know, and their friend works at a store, and you want a discount, and so you go to the store, and, oh, yeah, you know, your friend, that's my friend, too. I can get 30% off. You know, it's like name dropping. Yeah, it's like God is saying, just drop my name, because the power of my name will make a world of a difference. See, who has sent you? So the question here today is, I think sometimes we might wrestle with our faith because maybe we don't know who sent us into our world. See, if you know that the God of the universe has sent you into your world, it makes a world of a difference. Spiritually responsible people are those that know that they've been actually sent by the creator of the universe. That they understand the power of who has sent them, the authority, the heart, the faithfulness, the track record, majesty of the sender. It really matters who sends you into your world. 7.5 years ago, my father sat me down and he said, Aaron, what do you think about going to Hawaii Kai and pastoring our New Hope Church over there? And I'm like, wow, that's a huge responsibility, Dad. I'm 26 years old and I was doing youth ministry in this very room. And, you know, I'm young and I'm cool and, you know, and I think I could do this until I'm like 40, you know. And so it's one thing for, you know, let's just say like the governor of Hawaii came to me and said, Aaron, hey, you are to go to Hawaii Kai and pastor a New Hope Church over there. I'd say, thank you, sir, but I'm 26, but no thank you. Now, let's just say like my best friend came up to me and said, Aaron, man, you should go to Hawaii Kai and pastor a New Hope Church over there. I'd say, well, I'm pretty young, and I just don't think it works like that. You know, there's an order to things, and yes, but no thank you. Say my wife comes up to me and said, oh, sweetie, Hawaii Kai is so beautiful. We got to go live over there. It's just so pretty, and pastor a church over there. And I'd say, oh, obviously because her beauty smittens me, I would really think about it. But I'd say, we're pretty young, you know, let's just kind of, I think we're good. Now, let's just say Pastor Wayne sits with you on a Wednesday morning at Starbucks and says, what do you think about going to Hawaii Kai and pastoring a church out there? Well, first of all, and this is what I said. I said, Dad, you crazy. I'm 26, man. I'm a kid. But then I said, hey, you know, you've always spoken into my life with great wisdom and insight. You know, I've watched your life and how you have handled the responsibilities of God and our, not just in our family, but with the churches. And I've seen God do such cool things. So, Dad, I trust you. What do you think? And he said, son, it'll be good for you. You should do it. So well, when do I start? He said, how's about this Sunday? Now I really know he's crazy. But it makes a world of a difference in who sends you, doesn't it? You know, like Moses is standing before God. He's like, God, but what if this or what if that? Or I don't think I'm qualified. Me, who am I? And God says, but hey, I am sending you. I am is sending you. I will be with you. Makes a world of a difference who you're sent by. So spiritually responsible people live like God has actually sent them. So the question would be for each of us here today, do you live like God has sent you? Do you live like God has called you or is calling you into your world? Whose power do you walk with? Whose track record are you banking on? Who is your guarantor? Who do you trust in? When you are sent, maybe back into a broken marriage or a tough situation with your children or a relationship that's falling apart, who has sent you? It doesn't just make a world of a difference on who sent you, but the second thing, the quality of this type of faith, a spiritually responsible faith, it sounds like the first, but it's not. And I'll explain, but would you write in the second bullet here, spiritually responsible people live like they've been sent by God. You say, oh, Aaron, you Portuguese sound like the same thing. No, it's not. It's not. I am Portuguese, but it's not. If you remember in Moses' life, you know, it took a bit to like kind of get Moses going. Like, oh, God, really? Like, who am I? You know, what if the same things happen again? I'm frail, I'm flawed, I made tons of mistakes, but I am is sending you. So it's one thing, okay, to be sent by God, and okay, God, I'm going. But then what if you face a mean Pharaoh that doesn't like you and wants to kill you? And then what if you face like a Red Sea and you have nowhere to go? And then what if you face like 40 years in the desert with complaining, rebellious people that you just set free and now they don't like you and are complaining against you? What if you face those types of things, of various trials along the way? Spiritually responsible people, they live like they've been sent by God every step of the way, like God is actually with them. See, it's one thing to be sent, but it's another to know that God is actually with you every single step of the way. Do you live like God is actually with you wherever you go? See, Moses, he faced this. He faced the mean Pharaoh. Pharaoh wanted to kill him. He wanted to rip everything away from him. But Exodus 9:1 shows a beautiful picture of spiritually responsible faith. When he's face to face with Pharaoh, you can almost see Moses say, oh, hold on, Pharaoh, one second. Hey, God, Pharaoh said no. What do I say? And let's read God's response. Ready? Get set, go. Then the Lord said to Moses, go to Pharaoh and say to him, this is what the Lord, the God of Hebrews, says. Let my people go so that they may worship me. This is so beautiful. You got to catch this. Moses was faced with a trial and he says, hold on, God, what do I say? I don't have anything. Like, I'm done. There's nothing in me. You know, I don't have the strength or the wisdom or the insight to face this. So, okay, God, what should I say? Okay, tell him, let your people go. Okay, Pharaoh, God says, let his people go so that they can be free from the slavery that they are in. Not just for freedom to kind of do whatever they want, but so that they are free to worship their God forever and ever in the presence of their king, so that too they can be with God and God is with them. Did you see that? It's like, see, Moses, he had like nothing. He wasn't just sent by God, but every step of the way that he faced a trial, a tribulation, God, what do you think? Okay, God is with me. Okay, here's what we'll do. People, here's where we're going to go. Okay, God's with us now. Okay, we got to not just believe it. We live like it's actually true. You know, we're going to be faced with trials, situations in our family, situations you might even be going through in your finances. Do you believe that, like, God is with you? Like, He's actually with you? Because He is. You got to believe it. And you got to not just believe it and get excited about it, but you have to live like it. I remember a time where I was faced with a situation where, as a young leader, I just kind of made a silly mistake. And man, I just hate it when I make mistakes. But some of the people in the church, they let me know about it. And man, I was just feeling so down, so insecure about myself. And so, like I do every morning, I go to Starbucks and do some devotions, you know, just to get face to face with God and say, oh, God, please forgive me. You know, I just need help. I just want to quit here. And so I remember doing my devotions, and I came across this scripture, and you may have heard it says, if God is for you, then who can be against you? Now, for whatever reason, that's just really what I needed to hear. It's like, okay, God, yeah, if you are for me, then who could be against me? Like, you know, I make tons of mistakes, and I will. You know, and it's not my heart to blow it. It's not my heart to be like this evil person or something. So I'll repent. I'll ask for forgiveness, and I'll make it right. But God, if you're for me, then who can be against me? I wrote that down, man. I started saying it. If you are for me, then who can be against me? Man, this is awesome. It's like, God, you're with me always. Man, I got so excited. I got up out of my chair. Man, I walked outside of Starbucks on Kapahulu, up and down the walkway there. And I was like, if God is for me, who can be against me? Man, I was getting pumped. I was about to break into song and dance. You know, like, if God is for me, who can be against me? And just then, as I am just getting pumped on the word of God, like He's with me, out of the darkness and shadows, a homeless assassin, just came up to me face to face. I've never had this happen to me in my life. And he came up to me swearing at me. I mean, every word under the sun, like, you are, you know, and just swearing. And then he started to say this, true story, I'm going to kill you. I'm going to kill you. Like that. I'm like, oh, 911, 911, you know. Starbucks employees, help, you know. And I mean, it kind of freaked me out. I'm looking in his hand, see if he gave him a knife or something, you know. And so this is just the humor of God. You know, as the Bible says, the Holy Spirit is your reminder. He's the one that walks alongside you. He teaches you all things. And it's like, I think the Lord was just trying to teach me something here. He reminded me, oh, if God is for me, who can be against me? Okay, God, I'm going to try him. Okay, so I looked at this guy, right, and as he's just, I'm going to kill you. I said, hey, you know who I hang out with? His name is Jesus. Oh, the guy went trip out like that. And he kept saying, you know, I'm going to kill you, but not quite as, you know, as vicious. And I said, hey, you know who I spend time with and I hang out with? His name is Jesus. And I kept saying that over and over. Oh, and the guy, you know, he just got quieter and quieter. And I said, and at first I was just saying it, but then I started to really believe it. And then it's like God was really there. And I said, yeah, in fact, He's right here with me. And so you better watch out. Oh, and just then the bugger went scram. He ran away. I was like, yeah, what? You know? Oh, my big island came out a little bit, you know? And then just as I was celebrating my victory, I was like, I was reminded of the exact same situation that the disciples went through. In fact, you know, there was a man possessed by an evil spirit. And, you know, they came and cast a thing out, and they ran up to Jesus. And they said, Jesus, did you see what we did? Man, we cast that evil spirit out. It was really interesting. Here's what Jesus said. He said, hey, don't celebrate that you have authority over evil spirits, but celebrate the fact that your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. See, that's what we got to celebrate, folks, that we are with God and He is with us and we will be with Him forever. It makes a world of a difference. See, we can do all kinds of stuff for God, and that's good. We can do all sorts of different things, But is he the one that sent us? Is he with us? It makes a world of a difference. Now, often, you know, along the way, we get faced with these trials, and sometimes it's tough because our emotions get involved, our frustrations, our feelings. So here's another aspect or character trait of spiritual responsibility that we see, not just a good model, but actually maybe not the best model in Moses' life, would be this. Would you write in number 3, spiritual responsibility is not just being sent by God. It's not just knowing and living like he's with you, but here it is, spiritual responsible people walk with God and mirror his heart, always mirroring his heart. Now, if you look at Moses, and let's walk with him for a little bit, you know, at the age of 80, when God called him into this massive size responsibility, he did pretty good. You know, all along the way, he would face something. Hold on. Hey, God, what should I do here? He'd come back, he would just mirror the heart of God. God's words, his heart, his ways, the truth, that's all he did. But there was this one instance, just one, where the people of Israel were complaining, "We're thirsty, we're out in the desert, man, you brought us out here to die." Okay, hold on 1 second. "Hey, God, what should I do? They're freaking out, they're going to kill me. What should I do?" "Moses, go to the rock, take out your staff and strike it. And I'm going to show them my truth or my law in a stronger, sterner way." Struck the rock. Water came out. He said, "God is faithful, everyone. We don't need to complain here. We don't need to get rebellious. Okay, got it. Okay." And then they do it again. Isn't that just like our kids? Isn't that just like us? Okay, hold on. By this point, Moses is kind of nearing the end. You know, he's tired. I mean, this, you know, this guy's been through a lot. Hold on. Man, those guys. God, they're doing it again. They're rebellious. They're complaining. What should I do? Because this time, not only do they want to kill me, but I'm getting fed up here. Okay, what? Oh, go speak to the rock. And see, what God was doing is not just showing the people us truth or the law, but also speaking God's grace. See, God wants to show us that he's not just a God of truth, but he's also a God of grace. And he wanted to show that to the people through Moses. Okay, but he was so fed up and so frustrated at that point, he took out his staff and he whacked that rock, not just once, but twice, because he was so angry and fed up with the people. Now, that one moment, that one instance of disobedience cost Moses the promised land. God allowed him to get at the edge and look into the promised land. But he said, "Moses, hey, you know, my ways and my truth, who I am, is so perfect and so pure. You know, you can't do this responsibility on your own. You can't. You have to know that I've sent you. I'm with you. But you can't walk with me and let yourself get in the way. You must mirror my heart. That is the only way that we will be free and we will be people of freedom to worship a perfect God. If not, you're going to show me as just the stern guy with no grace. But that's not my heart, Moses. I've set you free. I've set free the people of God to worship me." You know, that word worship means to give worth to. Whatever we worship, we become more like. That's what I want, Moses. See, that's what he's saying. Cost him the promise. Now, Moses would say, "Hey, guys, I'm in heaven now. I'm cool." You know, in the transfiguration when Jesus was with the disciples and like transfigured into like God, I was right there, so we're cool, okay? So don't worry about me. But yeah, here it is. Don't follow me and my model. Here it is. Let's read what Moses says to every single one of us here today. Importance of mirroring the heart of God. Ready? Go. "Moses said, 'The Lord will raise up for you a prophet like me from your brothers. You shall listen to him in whatever he tells you.'" See, prophetically, thousands of years before, Moses, he says, "Hey, don't model me." You know, Abraham and all those guys, they're giants of faith. But we are human beings riddled with mistakes. But hey, I'm going to point to someone, the Messiah. His name is Jesus. That's who you follow. And if you walk with him, wherever you go, you just mirror the heart of Jesus. See, Jesus is God in flesh here, because how do you comprehend God? So he sent his son so that we would have a model to live after. And wherever if we just follow Jesus, do what he does, say what he says, be like him in everything that we do in our worlds. We take Jesus wherever we are. We just mirror the heart of Christ wherever we go. The Bible says it this way, that your faith will be a responsible faith spiritually, so much so it'll make a world of a difference. Even though you're riddled with flaws and mistakes and failures, God can use you in such huge ways indeed. That's the faith of Moses that he wants to pass on to every single one of us, that whatever world we're sent into, it'll be a God-sized thing we're stepping into. But it's not on our strength. It's not our responsibility. It's actually the exact opposite. And that's why the Bible says, take on the yoke or the weight of Christ, because it's light. Because all we do is follow him. Let me just close with this story and we'll be done. You know, I'm not always perfect in these types of things. And I would be the first to stand in line and say, man, I make mistakes. But this one time, I shared this story before. But I think it just kind of, it showed me anyway, just the power of responsible faith. I love to surf. I was out at Diamond Head. It was a beautiful day, kind of like today. And I was out there just having the time of my life. And what was beautiful turned into kind of a dreary time, somewhat of a cloud, because this grumpy guy paddled out. And he was dropping in on everyone, which means in surfer world, if you catch the wave first, then no one is to drop in on you, because it's kind of like surfer etiquette. And so he was doing this, so I caught this really nice wave, and I was like kind of going down the line, and you know, this guy started to drop in on me. And so, you know, what any surfer would do would, you know, let the person dropping in know that you're there so that they can pull off. And so any surfer would do this, so I called out and said, "Hallelujah, brother. God bless you. I'm here." So this guy, the nerve, he looks at me and he keeps going. I was like, oh, man, the Big Island came out. No, you didn't. You know, so I just sped up quicker, you know, like a good pastor would do. And, you know, and I stick my hand out as he's going to, like, crash in on me, so, you know, because I want to help him, you know. And so as I did that, like, I kind of, you know, is bored. I didn't do anything rough or mean, you know. I just kind of, like, it's mine, you know. And so he ended up going over the falls, like, crashing, going all the way in. And, you know, I'm keep on the wave. I'm surfing the wave. I'm like, yeah, you know. Obviously, like a great pastor would do, right? And so I'm paddling out, and then I just hear this guy. I mean, he's saying every word under the sun, like I'm going to kill you, you know. That whole, why do I get myself into these situations, you know? But this guy paddles right up to me, true story, grabs my board and brings me in close. And I mean, like, he's going to punch me. And I'm like, oh, my gosh, this guy's going to hit me. I can see it now. New Hope pastor gets into fight, headline news, you know. Oh, man. And so the first thing that I do as a Christian and a good pastor would do, you know, I size him up, see if I can take him out, you know. Like, oh, I got to cover all my bases. It's like, oh, no, I cannot. I'm a Christian. Okay. Pastor Wayne, that's my dad. Okay. And so, you know, and he's saying, oh, you got to pay for my board. You and Ding my board. You got to give me $20, you know. And I said, oh, man, I'm so sorry. Yeah, please forgive me. I'll give you $20, man, no problem. And so I paddle back out, like 15, 20 more minutes. This guy is keep on. He's just like going crazy, you know. And I'm like, oh, man, this is horrible. So I don't know what got into me. I just went over to the guy, paddled up to him, and looked into his eyes and said, hey, I don't know why I said this, but I did. I just said, hey, what brother? What, you go church? Oh, and what was like this demonic, oppressed, you know, person just went to, oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, yeah. Oh, brother, you know, I go to church, and, you know, I just got out of prison, and I'm trying to walk the straight and narrow, you know, and, oh, my goodness, you know, God is so good. I was in prison, and I went to this ministry, New Hope Ministry. on, this real cool Portuguese pastor on the video. He even saved my life, man. And I was just laughing. I was like, oh, really? I'm a New Hope pastor. And, you know, that Portuguese guy, that's my dad. Oh, that's your dad. Oh, God, forgive me. I almost went punch on pastor. Oh, God. No, kill me, God. You know, no. And I was like, oh, man. So, you know, I turned the kind of the conversation into, hey, you know, when we're out here, you know, people like you and me, we represent, you know, a good God, and he's with us, and there's so many people right now watching, and the last thing we want to do is show them something that God isn't, yeah? And so, sorry. So I said, okay, you know, I'm going to go in, and if you want to follow me in, I'll give you $20 for your board. And he said, okay, I'll follow you. You know, I was like, oh, you're going to forgive me, you know? So I get up to my car, look in my wallet. I didn't have $20, so I said, hey, I'm going to go to Kahala, go to the ATM, and pull out some money, you know? Why don't you just follow me? Okay, shoots, I'll follow you. It's like, oh, this pogo. Okay. Oh, God, he just tests you, you know? So I went to the ATM, and I don't know what came over. I don't know why I did this, but I didn't just take out $20. I took out $40, and I went up to him, and I said, hey, you know, here's $20 for your board. Go ahead and fix it. But, hey, this other $20, you know, the next guy that dings your board, just give him grace. Oh, man, this guy started weeping, started crying, gave me a big hug. He said, oh, bro, this is one sign from God. I'll go in Bible study tonight. You know? And it's so cool. That was some years ago, and Pastor Louis, who oversees our prison ministry here at New Hope, and he said, hey, I ran into this guy, you know, in our prison ministry, and man, he's telling everybody about this New Hope pastor that would give him grace and telling everybody about the grace of Jesus. I thought, man, that's so cool. This pastor that gave him grace out in the water. Like, wow. See, folks, when we're sent into our world, we're not just sent by anyone, not on our own strength. Don't do it on your own strength. You know, it's not your own responsibility, but it's God, the God of the universe, that has sent you, and he's actually with you. Don't just believe that, but live like that. Walk like that. Trust that. And wherever you go, if despite your mistakes and how frail and flawed you are, if you mirror the heart of Jesus, and you watch, you wait, you see, you will bring eternity wherever you go. And you won't know the impact sometimes, but I can tell you this, it'll be an eternal impact. We can be filled with mistakes, but despite our mistakes, if we're willing to obey God and be people that are spiritually responsible, man, God will use you. And he will use you mighty indeed. And that's our prayer here at New Hope, amen, that God would use us. Yes, Lord, do that. Amen. Well, would you bow your heads with me and close your eyes? And, hey, some of you in here today would say, you know, honestly, Pastor, like, I don't think I can honestly say that God walks with me. In fact, I don't think I've ever really invited him into my life to walk with me and be the one that actually saves me from those moments and is the one that is the Lord, the authority that would give me the truth that I need in those moments, the way, the direction, life when I feel so lifeless. If you've never asked Jesus to walk with you as your personal Lord and Savior, it's the most eternal decision that you can ever make. And if you're here with your eyes closed and heads bowed and say, you know, Lord, this moment right here, you've orchestrated everything today just for me. And if you would say, Lord, I want you to walk with me. I want to walk with you. You know I need forgiveness, Lord. Would you forgive me and step into my life? Would you be my Lord and Savior? If that's you, would you just lift up a hand right now and say, Lord, that's me. I need you in my life. Lord, I need you. Would you come and save me? Yeah. Amen. So many of us. You can put your hands down. If you're here today and you'd say, you know, I'm a Christian, but oh gosh, I haven't been mirroring the heart of Christ. And I've been a mess, and I've been more of a wrecking ball than someone that would build others up through the love of Jesus. Lord, would you give me the strength knowing that you've sent me and you're with me to do that, Lord. If that's you, would you just lift a hand and say, Lord, that's me. Would you strengthen me today? Would you remind me, not just this week, but every single day that you're with me? I'll give the world you. Yeah, you can put your hands down. Hey, if you said yes to Christ for the first time, right out in the exits here, both of our exits, we have something called a yes packet at the yes table. Grab that. It's just some next steps in your walk with Christ and what he wants to do in your life with this wonderful family called New Hope. Grab that free of charge. But let's pray before we go off into this wonderful day. And I'm going to pray a prayer. And if you've never said this before, receiving Christ, say it with all your heart, but repeat after me. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for Jesus. Thank you that you came, died on the cross for my sins. Thank you for sending me and walking with me. Lord, I promise, always try my best to mirror your heart wherever I go. So I say this so you can hear me, those around me can hear me, and so the devil can hear me. Jesus Christ is my Lord. He's with me. Father, we say this. Lord, this is our prayer this morning as your people. Lord, thank you for freeing us, not just for the sake of freedom, but thank you for freeing us to worship and praise your name. You are so worthy, God. We worship you. We love you. In Jesus' name we pray. And everyone said, amen. Would you welcome those who said yes for the first time? Amen. Amen.